It's time for Wolo and Friends on Sports 56. Here is your host, the voice of the Tigers, Dave Woloshin.
Last night, but the PGA off and running day two. We had the NFL schedule release that became prominent because there was no NBA on ESPN, and they made a big deal of that. And we got a coaching carousel at high school level. We're going to talk with Glenn Rogers about that in a little bit. Andy Schiffman, his usual visit with us, and we'll revisit the tragedy of Brandon Clark because he was a good client of Andy's Priority Sports. And then we'll end our week with Jonah Dillon, who was out at Lakeland the other night, where the first of four, I guess, alumni gatherings for U of M athletics took place. And he did a story or two on all of that. So we have a full show. Yesterday at the PGA, how exciting. Scottie Scheffler and six others were tied for the lead at 3 under 67. It is, believe it or not, the first time in the life of Scottie Scheffler, who's won multiple majors, is one shy of a career Grand Slam, that's the U.S. Open, it's the first time he ever had a lead or a share of a lead after the first round of a major. Crazy. And it was just a crazy day yesterday. There were the seven-way tie for first was the most since 1969. There were literally 48 players within three shots of the lead. That is the most ever in a major championship. And the difference between the lead and the cut was just six strokes. Holy mackerel. But that was the case. The greens are just diabolical. Rory McIlroy, four over, and then spent 4 hours on the driving range. Bryson DeChambeau, six over, and I don't know if he was to be found after that. I know he was totally a frustrated guy. Today, this course is playing so hard. The majority of those who have gone out early are over par. There's a couple that are two under, but for the most part, most are over par, including our man Scottie Scheffler, who bogeyed three of the first four holes. I think he's now through six or seven. He's three over for the day, even par for the championship. No one. The lead, Alex Smalley, who's out on the field, out on the course, has a share of that lead at three under. Nobody's made a move to get beyond three strokes under par. This is going to be a lot of fun to watch. Good morning, Landon Schmidt. And I meant to tell you, We will have Glenn Rogers Jr. on at about 10 minutes after. So if he doesn't call us, make sure you give him a call. So the NFL. I love the way they do the dramatic release. I think it's good. Everybody does care about it. Everybody's got a team that they love. Super Bowl rematch between Seattle and New England will open things up in week one. It's only the third time that there has been the two Super Bowl combatants to kick off in week one a year. The Chicago Bears apparently have the toughest schedule. Miami's second. I think Green Bay was third. Cleveland has the easiest schedule in the NFL. For the very first game on a rare Wednesday night to accommodate Australia, LA and San Francisco. How about that? The Rams and the Niners, within decent proximity of each other, have to travel all the way to Australia to play each other. It's crazy. Monday Night Football. Man, did the NFL go out of their way to make sure Joe Buck and Troy Aikman have a schedule. It includes every division winner and every playoff team. Wow. That is going to be fun to watch Monday Night Football. Christmas Day, triple header. Thanksgiving, triple header. The NFL owns the holidays. And Netflix will have five games, including, I think it's on Black Friday after Thanksgiving, where Green Bay, and I can't remember who they are playing, but it is on that Netflix streaming. And you've got to buy Netflix, which I don't know how many millions of Americans have. I'm a Netflix guy. You a Netflix guy, Landon Schmidt?
A little bit. It'll be the Packers and the Rams that day, I believe.
Well, you
you said Black Friday, right?
Yeah, Black Friday. That's the day after Thanksgiving.
Looks like that's the Broncos and the Steelers on AMZ.
On AMZ?
I don't even know what that is.
Oh, that's Amazon.
Oh.
Amazon.
Amazing.
I don't know. You either have Netflix or you don't have Netflix, right? And you pay, and it's worth it. I mean, Netflix is great. But for those that don't love movies or whatever it may be, they're trying to get, obviously, into the business of sports. And their philosophy is we're not doing, you know, like a season worth of games. We've picked five great games that we identify as very interesting games for our viewership, and we're taking those games. Well, this was too much for a Wisconsin senator who is now up in arms and, you know, is threatening the NFL with congressional reaction. I don't know what they'll do. But the sense is, if you're a home team, you should not have to pay to watch. This is not the first time that somebody from government has now going after Roger Goodell and the NFL for going to streaming, because there's a sense of entitlement, and I'm not sure it's wrong, but there's a sense of entitlement because the NFL is as big as it is, that it's part of America, that it should be free to the hometown team. So if you live in the state of Wisconsin, you should be able to watch your Packers anywhere for free. And, you know, they do have antitrust exemption. So I don't know how far this goes, because Glenn Goodell made it really pretty I think his message was real strong when this came up. This was like 2 or 3 weeks ago. Somebody else took him on about streaming, and he goes, look, 86% of our product is free. And if you're in your home market, which would not be the case for these five Netflix games, so he's forgotten about that apparently, but if you get to watch it for free in your home market. Well, I don't think that's the case here, as I just said, so we'll have to wait and see how all of this plays out. But five Netflix games, I've got it already, so I'm not going to go crazy, but, you know, it has kind of bugged me. I got Peacock, or I'm supposed to have Peacock because I'm a rewards member of Xfinity, of Comcast, and half the time I can't get the Prime programming for free like I'm supposed to. So you never know with these things. And I hate to say it, but more and more, that's the way the world is going, streaming and having to pay per product. What really bugs me, it's like going to the movie theater. You ever go to the movie theater and go to Malco Theaters?
All the time.
Okay. And I love Malco Theaters. They're fantastic with the reclining seats.
NXT is beautiful.
It's fantastic. And the laser projection and the surround, it's incredible. But it drives me crazy that I got to pay $12 a ticket and that I got to watch the beginning. I'm starting to catch on. Go like 5 minutes after the program is supposed to start.
Sometimes it's 10.
Okay. And you miss out on this, but I don't want to watch 20 minutes of commercials.
There's a lot.
I just paid a lot of money. Why am I paying? Why am I having to watch these commercials? Drives me crazy.
Yeah. Well, that's actually a rising thing. I don't know how much you heard about WrestleMania this past year.
No.
But it was over like an hour of ads in a 3-hour show.
And what did you have to pay for that? $60?
It was streaming on ESPN. I think the first hour.
Oh, so if
was.
You had like if you had the ESPN app, you got it for free, right?
I think so. Yeah.
Okay.
Well, it was weird how that divvied
up. That's different though. But if you go to a theater,
originally there's usually not that much ads that are being played, but WWE apparently is selling out a lot of ads.
Well, that's crazy. And they're making so much money from ESPN. ESPN paid
them
billions
so.
Of dollars for that.
Yeah. Now it's all over our TVs on ESPN, too.
I understand for Melco, now they've built in a revenue stream that they've accounted for, and they don't want to change that. But, you know, to me, it's insulting. I just paid $12.
I agree.
I paid to watch the movie. I didn't pay to see 20 minutes worth of advertising. All right, yesterday we told you about the story. As I sit here in the Family Leisure Studios, and I do want to remind you, we got a new sale. The ultimate pool party is really what we're looking for, to make your backyard all ready for this great swimming season that is just about underway. A grow of above-ground pools in this particular sale started under $4,000. In-ground pools are doing those now, and they're unbelievable. And you can get one of those. I mean, starting from scratch, good price here, under $50,000, all in-stock patio furniture, priced to move. You can get a five-piece patio furniture set starting at under $1,000. You get a free umbrella and base with select patio furniture sets. And if you mention us, $200 off any pool or spa purchase. Please go see it. Get ready for the ultimate pool summer with the ultimate pool party at Family Leisure. So we mentioned yesterday that there's a vacancy in the coaching position. Rodney Salisbury left Whitehaven to become the coach at the U of M. I had forgotten the interim coach is Stan Collins. There was some whispers out there because Gene Robinson left the Germantown position, which he's been incredibly successful, that he would become the coach of Whitehaven. That is not actually set in place. So I misspoke on that one. I apologize to anybody. But it is a factor. Ron Sutton is going to Germantown from Ridgeway. Jeremy Stewart's going to take over at Ridgeway. What is the story with Gene Robinson? What happened at Germantown? We had to bring in our high school expert. You hear him all high school football season long. Our coach from Christian Brothers, our assistant coach Glenn Rogers Jr. Good morning, Glenn. So what the heck happened at Germantown? Why would Gene Robinson, who's had a five-year run there that has just been spectacular, why did he leave the Red Devil program? Good morning.
Good morning, Dave, to you and all our listeners on this Easy B Friday. And, Dave, you really put it in perspective. Gene has left Germantown High School, a place where he's been very successful. Don't know where he's resurfaced yet. I know he's going to resurface somewhere. Don't know where Gene is going right now. That hadn't been publicized. But we know Stan Collins is the interim coach at Whitehaven. Stan was a longtime coach at Whitehaven for many, many years, a really good close friend of my father's. And he's going to take over the program for 1 year. And then I guess they'll reevaluate, or maybe Gene will come on board then. Who knows? But Deron Sutton, a longtime coach at Ridgeway and Kingsbury High School, has taken over a program at Germantown, which he's very familiar with the principal, Mr. Sansel over there at Germantown. And so Deron worked for him at Ridgeway. He's a principal. He's from Louisiana, loves football. So, he got Deron to try to keep that program stabilized, because you're going to need somebody to stabilize that program, because Gene has been so successful the last 5 years at Germantown High School. And he's a Whitehaven graduate. And so we all assume that, once these years over with, Gene maybe is going to step into that head role. But right now, he's not anywhere right now.
So Stan Collins, who was the coach when I first got into the market in 1981, left, and his disciple Rodney Salisbury had the job for 25 years or whatever it was before he left to go to the University of Memphis as a liaison between Charles Huff and all the high school coaches. It was a brilliant move by Huff, great move for Rodney Salisbury. Stan Collins has been double-dipping for like 40 years. It's incredible, and he's a great guy. He was an innovative coach. He had men in motion like the CFL, and I'm talking about in 1981. So it was amazing to watch his stuff. Now, I don't know. Is he called interim coach, or is he the head coach?
Well, I think he has the interim tag, Dave. We all know Coach Collins. Like I say, he's a close friend of my family's. Know his deceased wife and his daughters. Great guy. The stadium got renamed after him last year. And, it's weird to see a 70-plus-year-old man back in coaching. But, you know, when you have things that go down like this here, you got to have a stabilizer step in and keep Whitehaven's program stable. You know, when Stan stepped down, a couple of his former players took over. Maurice Harris took over. Then Vincent Hunter, who's the principal now, and then now Rodney Salisbury, who took over for a long time. And now, you assume a Whitehaven guy's going to take the helm, and everybody's assuming it's going to be Gene. And so, but you needed somebody to step in because they hadn't made a decision yet on the coach. And so Stan Collins was the guy they chose to kind of stabilize the program, keep the kids in, keep the kids working out. You know, spring ball is here now with many schools. And so I think it's a good move by Vincent Hunter and the powers that be at Whitehaven to get Stan Collins in there to stabilize the program until they find the coach.
Well, the biggest thing is there has to be a reason Gene Robinson left. He was there 5 years. They went 44-16. You know how good that record is. Deep runs into the state playoffs. He's got to be going somewhere that we don't know about because you don't just leave that success.
Absolutely, and a lot of players in college, Dave, and you know I've said this for years, and you've heard me echo this, and many people on the radio have. Gene Robinson is one of the best young coaches in this area, and probably in the state of Tennessee. He's a young, brilliant mind, very energetic, very passionate about the game of football, a student of the game. He was an excellent student in high school. I want to say he was a valedictorian. You're well over 4.0 GPA coming out of high school, attending North Carolina. Graduated from there, and so Gene is, you know, not only academically does he understand what these kids need to do to be qualified to go to college, but he's a motivator and a leader of young men and a very talented coach. Always had a great staff underneath it.
What do we know about Jeremy Stewart, who takes over for Sutton at Ridgeway?
Jeremy, former Tigers, been around coaching for a while, you know, Memphis guy. So I think Jeremy, you know, he's been Sutton D coordinator the last 6-7 years. He's been tied to the program. Maybe longer than that, but, you know, Jeremy's a fine coach. His biggest thing is can he get the program resurrected? COVID hit. Ridgeway program took a big dip. Then a lot of kids got bussed out to different areas. And so he's got a tall task. You know, Deron never got it back rolling before COVID. So Coach Stewart has a tall task. Number one, recruit, get those guys in the building, get everybody excited in the building about football again. And then number two, put a schedule together that's conducive to him winning some games and then getting the middle school kids to come on board to a successful and winning program.
Any other high school news we need to know about today? Glenn?
Yeah, Dave, I'm here, Dave.
Okay, we lost you there for a second. Any new high school news we should be updated on?
Yeah, well, there's a big scrimmage today with Central and Broadcrest. You know, Phil Mass and Major Wright are going to go at it today at Central High School at 6 p.m. That'll be exciting, too. You know, Major's quarterback is one of the top young quarterbacks in the city. And well, we all know Broadcrest, a lot of talent at Broadcrest. A lot of college scouts have been coming through this spring. And I haven't met any college scout that hadn't told me either I just left Broadcrest or my next stop is Broadcrest. So. A lot of talent at Broadcrest, a lot of talent at Central. It should be a real good game. And spring ball is in the air. You know,
I didn't know you could have these scrimmages in spring.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, they've been doing scrimmages in spring since I was in high school. We did when I played for my dad at Southside. We scrimmaged in the spring, and so yeah, spring scrimmages they're prevalent this time of year, and sometimes sooner. Camps are going on. We got a big camp at Christian Brothers. This Sunday night from 6 to 8 p.m. at Tom Nixon Stadium, grades 4 through 8. It's a free camp. Look forward to young man coming out and, you know, just learning about the culture of football, learning X's and O's and learning skill sets and things and techniques that they can use to take back to their middle schools and potential high schools. And so great job by Coach McDaniel and our staff putting this thing together and just for the community. You know, football has took a dip, Dave, the last few years, and so we're trying to resurrect these middle school programs and help these coaches to get these young men motivated to play football.
So that's any 4th to 8th grader that wants to be involved and come for free to Christian Brothers on Sunday at 6 o'clock?
Yeah, six to 8 p.m. at Tom Nick. Any 4th through 8th grader. Yeah, around the city or surrounding there. We want to welcome them and their parents.
All right. Well, I hope you get a big turnout, and we'll be talking sooner than we think. Thank you, Glenn. I appreciate all the news today.
Yes, sir, Dave. Thank you. Go Brothers and go Tigers, go.
There you go. There is our man, Glenn Rogers, Jr., on high school football. He's brought to you in part by Southern Security. Are you getting the best rate on your mortgage? With 7 locations and a not-for-profit status, you know that Southern Security can do things other banks cannot, including offering the lowest rates, the most flexible of terms, no PMI, and unbeatable service. You can refinance your current mortgage with the Mid-South's best mortgage leader by just easily calling a service team member at 901-452-7900. Yeah, you talk to a human. Or you can go online at southernsecurity.org. Southern Security is an equal housing lender, big supporters of the Tigers, and federally insured by NCUA, the best credit union in the last 6 years. Southern Security is your home team credit union. We're going to Chicago. Our agent from Priority Sports, Andy Schiffman, comes your way in just a minute.
Start your day with Sports 56 Mornings with Greg Gaston and Eli Savoy. Weekday mornings from 7 to 10, right here on Sports 56 and 98.5 FM.
Hello and friends on Sports 56. Here once again is the voice of the Tigers, Dave Woloshin.
Finally, somebody has gotten a 4-under at the PGA Championship. Ron Amink has been so tough today. Alex Smalley just birdied number 7. He's at 4-under, 1-under on the day. Almost everybody's over par today except for Hideki Matsuyama, 3-under. That's the best score so far. He's played 14 holes. He's at 3-under, tied with 3 others who've yet to tee off that were 3-under yesterday, Potgieter, Jaeger, and Minwoo Lee. So we'll be keeping our eyes on all of that. If you don't want to just watch golf, you want to play, you know where to go. That would be Miramichi. It's really like going to a country club, especially when it comes to their facilities for learning the game and practicing the game with everything you could need. Sand trap, big sand trap to learn how to hit those, a chipping area, a huge, huge putting green, and the biggest of, well, biggest of most golf courses that I know. The driving range is just fabulous. You can be a member, no initiation fee. They have golf club memberships, and that means unlimited rounds and range balls. You just can't beat it. The beauty of the golf course is amazing. It can be very tough, back to 7,000 yards. They've played NCAA tournaments, AJGA tournaments out there. It's just a great experience between the deck on top of 9 and 18 with the best view in Shelby County, or in the clubhouse itself with great food and beverage. You can't beat the whole golf experience. And no, it's not in Millington. It's in Woodstock, 25 minutes from my driveway in East Memphis. Go check out this fabulous place. This place of happy retreat is what they say. That would be Miramichi. We're going to Chicago. Our agent from Priority Sports is Andy Schiffman. He and his company represented Brandon Clark. So let's start right there because I know it's on a lot of the minds of Memphians. I mean, they have done farewells on the plaza at FedEx Forum in front of his banner. This is one of the most tragic and sad stories I think we've seen in Memphis in many years involving sports teams. And really, it's the first time an active NBA player has died in a long, long time. So our condolences to you and all who are connected with Brandon Clark.
No, I appreciate it, Dave. It's been a tough week. Got the news Monday evening, and obviously it was publicized on Tuesday. And, yeah, it's just definitely very difficult. Did not see this coming in any way, shape, or form, and it just hurts a lot because of who Brandon was as a person, what he meant to me, what he meant to our agency, and goes without saying how he represented the city of Memphis and just the true, quote-unquote, grit and grind mentality. And his 7 years in a Grizzlies uniform, he was loyal to the team was loyal to him. He was the glue guy. He was the connector. He made all the flashy, hard-nosed plays, kept everyone together, but never really stood out necessarily but just did all the little things that you need to do to win. And he did that even, look, going back to his days at Gonzaga. So his loss will be felt throughout not only the Grizzlies, but around the NBA. And the number of players that I've had, even players that we don't represent, Dave, reach out, just sharing stories and interactions about Brandon and his relationships with different players around the NBA. I'm out here at the NBA Combine, and Gigi Jackson, fellow Grizzly, his mother represents Gigi. And so Wednesday, I was at this mandatory agent seminar hosted by the NBPA, so she was there. And so one of the representatives of the Players Association introduced me to her after, and she gave me a big hug and was telling me a story how Brandon kind of took Gigi under his wing and, you know, bought him like a really nice shirt his rookie year to kind of welcome him to the NBA. And I've just even heard stories from Zach Edey and how Zach is a soft-spoken guy. Brandon was a soft-spoken guy, but just as a veteran leader and a mentor in that locker room, shared insight to Zach, you know, two fellow Canadians, just getting through injuries and getting through stretches where you're losing games. And just, like I said, I mean, the guy on that team that everyone top to bottom could go to and lean on, and I know the last player I'll mention and how close they were is Jaren Jackson, and I know it really, really has been a difficult time for Jaren and has hurt him a lot. So, look, it's tough. It's a very tragic incident, and we all have heavy hearts here.
Okay, a couple things that come to my mind. First of all, I didn't realize, you know, he's one of the longest tenured Memphis Grizzlies,
yeah,
except for some of the core four guys. 7 years. That in its own right. And the second thing, you know, was the incredible response, emotional response and connection with Brandon from the Grizzlies fans in the Memphis community. I see two things. I see that he gave $1,500 to the school, and these kids sung him happy birthday, and they just were all clinging to him. That, and just that little signal he had with Ja Morant to get him the ball on an alley-oop. Those those things come to my mind.
Yeah. Yeah, he'll be missed. It's been tough.
Yeah. All right, you are at the Combine, but let's just start with the Grizzlies getting that third pick overall. And I'm, you know, I like picking your mind on these things.
Sure.
Sure does seem like there's clearly four guys in this very deep and talented draft that are the cream of that particular crop. They would be DeBanza, Peterson, Wilson, and Boozer. I think most people think DeBanza 1, Peterson 2, and the Grizzlies have this debate. Do you take Wilson, who's got bigger upside maybe because he's more athletic? He's a great defensive player too. And, you know, sooner or later, he could become one heck of an explosive offensive guy. Or do you take this guy who's done very well, by the way, at the Combine, a winner, the Dookie, Cam Boozer, who's bigger than most people kind of think. We saw with that, with the measurables, who's a winner, we know for sure, smart guy, but not quite as athletic. So you're not sure if the ceiling is as high. Certainly the floor is in a perfect position. He's not going to be a bust. How would you rate the four, and what do you think the Grizzlies are going to do?
Well, I think you're right with DeBanza and Peterson in the top two. I think there might be a little speculation as to who goes ahead of who. And we talked about both guys on this show. But I do think in either order, they're interchangeable. Those two will be off the board by the time you get to pick number three. And you can talk about Cam Boozer, another big, to pair alongside Zach Edey in the front court for the Grizzlies. Caleb Wilson, also another forward. But again, like, there are the Keaton Voglers of the world from Illinois, an outstanding young point guard who just kept getting better as the season went on. You can talk about Darius Aka from Arkansas, a scoring machine. If you go guard, obviously it makes it that much easier to move Ja, which I do think is still in their plan. It remains to be seen what that looks like in terms of a trade and who the Grizzlies can bring in for that piece. But if you do go with a point guard, I think really probably one of those two would be the guys at three. I think it's definitely easier to move Ja. And maybe you go out and you get some more depth in the front court in free agency.
Wait. Would you really use the point guard pick at three? Wouldn't you go with one of these guys? You know, somebody brought up this the other day that I thought was interesting. The guy closest to the skill set and probably superior to the skill set of Brandon Clark is Caleb Wilson.
I agree. But look, to your question, I think you have to seriously consider a point guard at three because Acuff and Vogler, and I love Kingston Fleming. I'm from Houston. I don't necessarily know if he's going to go that high. But let's just talk about those two, Acuff and, excuse me,
and
Wagler. Those two guys, Dave, in my opinion, I've watched a lot of them. They have the potential to be high-level starters. It's too early to say all-star. I mean, I think Darren Peterson could be an all-star. I think DeBanza has that potential. I don't necessarily know if Cam Boozer has all-star potential, but I think he's a high-level rotational starter player. But for me, I think you can say the same for Vogler down the road and maybe even more in the near future, Darius Acuff. And so depending on what the Grizzlies want to do, I think you have to seriously consider it. Because for all we know, the Grizzlies might be looking out and saying, hey, this is the money we have in free agency. If we want to move Ja, we have to bring in another viable point guard alongside Ty Jerome. We don't know how healthy he's going to be for a full season. We need youth as well, obviously. I think you seriously have to consider those two guys alongside a Caleb Wilson or a Cam Boozer because maybe they have a contingency plan to go out there and offer the full tax, a non-taxpayer mid-level, which is going to come in around $15 million, to a big, depending on who else is out there in the free agent market. So I think they have to have all their ducks in a row to figure out positions of need, which I see as the Grizzlies is definitely some depth in the front court and a really high-level guard, assuming you are going to move off Ja. And the mechanisms to do that, right, are free agency, trade, and draft. And I think the most likely avenues there for the foreseeable future are the draft and probably free agency. But I do think if they're able to move Ja, depends on who they get. If they can get a high-level starter, right, I think a lot of options open up for how they want to build out their roster.
What would you think of this scenario? I don't know how it passes the budget and the cap constraints. But you grab Wilson or Boozer at three. Okay, now you're pretty good in that front court with Edie, provided he's – by the way, how healthy is he?
He's doing well. He's getting there. I mean, we expect him to be good to go for training camp. Let's say that.
Okay. So then you take – so you get Wilson or Boozer. Then you take 16, 32, and Ja Morant to try to move up into the top 10 and grab your Wagler, your Acuff, or your Flemings in that area.
Look, I think you can absolutely do that. And the team that comes to mind, because I know it's probably the number one suitor for Ja, and they tried to get him at the deadline, is Sacramento, and they're picking seven. So how does that work? Is that something that's viable? And I think the Kings would really take a hard look at that. If you get to seven, and let's say their top target's off the board, and you get a call from Zach Kleiman saying, we'll give you Ja and these other picks, I think if you're the Grizzlies and there's someone that you are really targeting who's still there at seven, I actually would like that move a lot, to your point. Now, financially, yes, there'd have to be some players moving out because you're involving Ja Morant in that salary. Maybe you get a third team involved. I don't know. I also know the Grizzlies covet our guy, Keegan Murray. And right now, I don't think Sacramento would want to move him. But how does that look when you've got the likes of Malik Monk, DeMar DeRozan, Zach LaVine still there? Like, that's a bit of a logjam for a lot of veteran guys that need the ball in their hands. So I don't necessarily know if Keegan really fits that long term. But there's all sorts of options that could happen, to your point. But if you're involving Ja on draft night in a trade, unless you're sending him into cap room, there has to be some other pieces going out to get pretty close to his salary, and you can also involve other teams involved, you know, include them in a trade.
I've got to congratulate you, Steve Kerr. You wouldn't tell me a darn thing the other day, a couple of weeks ago, but now he signs a new two-year deal. Is that true? $17.5 million a year for Steve Kerr?
Yep. Yep, absolutely.
$35 million? Holy mackerel. He is the highest paid coach in the NBA.
Highest paid coach in the NBA and donates a lot to charity, which is great. Like, you know, he's just the best. He's one of a kind, and I'm glad it worked out. I'm glad he's going to remain there. Now, don't ask me a year from now what's going to happen when his contract's up, because I couldn't tell you. But for the time being, I'm definitely happy he's staying there.
I'm curious about this, though. The guy was a great broadcaster. Does he have any desire to go back to doing that?
You know, I do not know.
If he hadn't re-upped, what would he have done?
Yeah. I could see him taking a step back, but eventually, yes, I do think that's a space he would want to get back into, knowing his, you know, how adept he is at dissecting the game and public speaking and all that sort of stuff. But I don't think it would necessarily be something he would jump right into. And you've seen this a lot. I think with these coaches, as they get older, they're not necessarily trying to grind it out and just move their families around city to city every single year getting new coaching jobs. It would take a lot for him to probably get back into coaching had we not done this deal with Golden State. But I'm happy for him.
Me too. All right. Remind me next week that we want to talk about Adam Silver's 3-2-1 flat odds anti-tank system, but we don't have time today. But I do have to ask you, since you are at the combine, give me, real quick, two or three guys that have really raised your eyebrows.
Well, I do want to, you know, I do want to promote one of our guys, who's Alex Caravan. And obviously, he's a champion from UConn.
Right.
What, two championships, three Final Fours. And I think in the NBA, it's easy to write off these quote-unquote older players. And you sit there and say, if you're a talent evaluator, oh, you know, he's just been overexposed. We know him, et cetera. He's got, I think, the best shooting numbers in the drills at the combine. And he's a guy, Dave, who I definitely think before this week was probably more talked about as an early to mid second rounder. Primarily, probably just maybe like, you know, is he the most athletic guy? No, he's a little bit older. But I think now when you're picking in the late 20s and you're one of these teams that's built to compete and contend, you can plug him right away into a lineup and he can go out there and be productive and knock down shots and just be a great locker room culture guy as well for a young, he is a young player, even though he's going to be older in college in the terms of the NBA and in the locker room, he's going to be on the younger side. So I think he's really helped himself a lot. I've also heard really good things, and I haven't really seen him a ton because I've been in a lot of meetings with teams throughout the week, but there's a forward from Mexico, Kareem Lopez, that's really moved himself into probably the top 20 in the first round conversation.
Wow.
He's an international player, but he's really, really talented. I've heard really good things
what
about
position?
Him and his stock. Kind of more of a four.
Okay.
And I think, you know, I'm trying to just kind of think if there's any sort of sleeper not represented by Priority Sports that I think you should pay attention to.
Well, some people say Boozer really has helped himself in this combine.
Oh, I think he has. I think he has. But, I mean, for my money, Dave, I think it's just you could go so many directions with picks 3, 4, and 5. And the draft in general, yes, it's a very talented draft. I think it's really, really top-heavy, and you're going to see a lot of players still, because of NIL and the money they can make in college, be able to withdraw before May 27th and that deadline, which could really help players who might be fringe first-rounders move themselves into the first round. The prospect pool today is going to look a lot different in 2 weeks, I'll tell you that much.
Well, we'll be talking more and more about that as the weeks unfold. We'll talk next Friday. Thank you, Andy.
Thanks a lot, Dave.
That's our man in Chicago, Andy Schiffman. He's brought to you by Shell Dunn. You know, when you're looking at combines, you look at statistics, you look at heights, you look at the strategy that's been used by these guys all the way through. That's where you should do the same thing, honestly, when it comes to real estate. Do your homework. Find out who's got the strategy. Find out who gets you to the closing table. Go to MemphisRelocate.com. You'll see the rave reviews on my guy, Shell Dunn Rosengarten, who's got the most experience of any of these guys, 40-plus years in the business. Nobody beats his work ethic 24/7, 365, and it's the strategy. He's got the plan, and he works the plan, and it's this marketing program that is beyond compare. That's why he gets his clients the best price and to the closing table quicker than anybody else. He says, talk to two or three real estate brokers. Just make sure he's one of them. 483-0546. I guarantee you he will answer by the second ring, or go to memphisrelocate.com. Sheldon Rosengarten, Mark Bensdorf. We're headed downtown. Jonah Dillon from the Commercial Appeal comes your way in a minute.
Let Bryant Dacus and Brett Norsworthy take you home every afternoon. Sports Time on Sports 56. Weekdays from 3 to 6 here on Sports 56 and 98.5 FM.
Top Gun is the largest indoor range.
Now back to Wolo and Friends on Sports 56. Here once again is the voice of the Tigers, Dave Woloshin.
Downtown we go. We always end our week with Jonah Dillon from the Commercial Appeal, Tiger football beat writer, but also writes plenty of stories on the Memphis Grizzlies and the tragic way too early passing of Brandon Clark this week. And I know I haven't talked to you since then, so I just love your thoughts, your reactions as you watch this community really get emotional over the loss of Brandon.
Yeah, obviously a really difficult week in a couple days for everyone. You saw the memorial that fans had set up outside FedEx Forum. And obviously just tragic to hear the news and then, you know, see everything coming after. Brandon Clark was such a key part of the Grizzlies over his entire professional career. And someone who I think, you know, he was always appreciated by Grizzlies fans. He was one of those players that when he was on the court, things just worked better. You know, it was hard sometimes to quantify he's doing this or he's doing that. It was just like he kind of made things go when he was on the court, his rebounding, his versatility, his ability to play with multiple lineups and things like that. And then obviously who he was in the community off the court. It's really cool to see all the donations coming in to Arise to Read and all stuff like that, and, yeah, and the way that fans have rallied around him.
He was truly loved, and I really to the point where I was surprised at the public reaction. I should have seen that, because the guy was one of the longer tenured Grizzlies and was such a wonderful fellow. I mean, the first negative thing that ever happened to him was about 6 weeks ago with, you know, a drug that's legal everywhere, most places except for the state of Arkansas. And so that just seemed weird. And, you know, any time a guy is 29 years old, literally in the prime of his life, and you see him go, it's just hard to accept.
Yeah, I mean, like you said, it's totally just a tragic situation, everything about it. It's been, like you said, it's been cool to see, you know, the way that fans have rallied around him and his family and the causes that he supported and the things that he cared about, and obviously thoughts and prayers to his family and to his teammates, even, you know, former teammates who played with him, like Jaren Jackson Jr., and everyone else, you know, just thinking about them.
Yeah. A couple of nights ago, you were out in Lakeland for the Memphis Caravan, if that's what they're calling it. I think they've got four of those this year, one in Nashville, one in Atlanta, somewhere else. I know Dr. Ed Scott spoke. I think Penny was out there. I don't know if Charles Huff was or not. There was a stadium update given by Dr. Scott. What was your sense of the event? What did you take away from it? And you wrote a story about the stadium renovation. I know that.
Yeah, I mean, the event usually, you know, it's kind of typical to what we've seen the past couple of years. A lot of fans out there. They had Penny there. They had Charles Huff there. Hannah Hayden was there, and Sherry Lindsay as well as Ed Scott. So a lot of Tigers officials and coaches out there, and you know, the diehard fans are always out at those events supporting everybody. And so it's kind of a good way to reset as they get towards the end of the academic year and obviously start to build towards next season. Ed Scott talked a little bit about the stadium. He kind of mentioned some things in terms of, you know, the thing he was trying to mention, I think, the most was obviously the renovations. The big story with the renovations has been the renovation of the West Tower and the rebuilding of the West Tower. But he kind of said, and this is something that I think they'd figured out throughout the process, is they wanted to make sure when they did the whole renovation of the stadium that people who weren't going to sit in those new seats would see and benefit from some of the projects. And so they redid the scoreboards. They're putting in, you know, new video boards and things like that to kind of make sure that everyone who shows up, even if you're not sitting on that side of the stadium, you're seeing the things that are different, a new sound system and stuff like that for the stadium, and make it all kind of look better and not just that one side.
Yeah, the surround sound kind of intrigued me. That is one thing. And is it two new scoreboards? Or are they keeping the one in the south end zone, which I think was a pretty state-of-the-art board from a few years ago? I think Fred Smith actually might have given that board to the city. And the north one, though, was the one that was in dire need of replacement. What are they doing with those?
Yeah, I think they're changing that one. They're changing the sound so that it's not coming from the scoreboard,
right,
which is what it was in the past. And then I think some things with lights and stuff like that. I think ultimately, like, you know, you'll get in there, obviously, September 5th. The plan is still everything will be done before then, and then kind of see how all this stuff shakes out. But, yeah, like I said, the point is, obviously, if you're sitting in the West Tower and those new suites or those new sections, you're going to have a whole different experience. But if you're sitting in a different area, you'll be able to see that and see the differences in terms of the feel of the stadium, because obviously they want to update it and make it feel like it's all new, even though only part of it is going to be.
Can't wait for it. And it will be ready on time, they say, for that first football game in September.
Yeah, that's the plan. I think it'll be done before then. Obviously, it's been going on for a while now, a couple years, and it's been a while since fans were in the stadium and saw a normal-looking stadium, right? Because we've had the half capacity, or a little bit more than half capacity, over the past couple years. But yeah, still on track to be completed before the home opener.
Well, then they're doing that tunnel so that they can do bigger music shows, which would have to be over, I think, 20,000 in order for them to have the rights, not the Grizz, to those concerts. And I'm pretty sure, I don't know if they booked any. They had that one rap act that since the tunnel wasn't there, they really couldn't do it last year, even though they had started to sell seats. Was that Drake that ended up not coming, or some big name?
Oh, it was Chris Brown.
Oh, Chris Brown. Yeah. Have they got any of those, you think, in the books yet?
No, I mean, I think they would announce them if they did.
Yeah.
I think that the Chris Brown situation is going to make it difficult in the short term, because obviously now they have renovated the stadium in terms of the North Tunnel. That was the issue. But I think that if you're a promoter, you need some assurances, right, in terms of how things are going to work based on what happened with the Chris Brown concert. And that's the reason the load-in process, that's the reason, one of the main reasons why there were no concerts for so long at the stadium.
Right.
So Ed Scott has talked about it. He talked about it again on Tuesday, wanting events to come to the stadium outside of football games, not just concerts. You know, he's talked about monster truck events, things like that, wrestling. They're going to need some people to kind of take a leap of faith and be the first ones to do that and make sure that it all works. Obviously, the indication is with the tunnel renovations, it won't be a problem, but they're going to need some people to come in and do events there and make sure they go smooth. I think if they get a couple people to do that, regardless of what the event is, then they'll be able to kind of kickstart it and get more stuff moving forward.
A few weeks ago, you wrote a great article on the new 5-year eligibility rule, which I found intriguing. You dug deep and you found out how that would affect Memphis's rosters from this year to next year. My question for you is, does this thing really have a chance of happening in time for this school year?
Yeah, that's the NCAA's plan. I mean, if they can continue with what they're trying to do, they're trying to make sure that this does go into effect. Now, there's going to be lawsuits, as there always is, anytime there's a change in college sports. As we always say, the real winners of all this going on in college sports are the lawyers, of course, billable hours. Yeah, their plan, I mean, they've indicated that they're trying to push this through and make it happen, because essentially the NCAA is tired of all these eligibility lawsuits and waiver requests and things like that, and they want to just go to the 5 for 5. And you've heard a lot of coaches support it,
yeah,
so it's not like there's not support for it.
Yeah, and that would be 5 years from the time you start, or the age limit of 19 to 24, correct?
Yeah, so what it would be is you got 5 years, there's no red shirts, there's no waivers, there's no anything else. It's just, hey, you get 5 years when this happens, either when you leave high school or you're 19. And so you could play play as a true freshman and play for 5 years and do that. Or obviously, you know, there's no reason to redshirt under those things, so it would change the approach for a lot of people, I think, because you have no incentive to do that. Obviously, development is still important, but and even going to junior college, things like that. I think the whole point is to kind of make sure, look, you can do whatever you want. You can go here, you can play a prep year or something like that, but you're going to have 5 years regardless. And it would eliminate, I mean, under their hope, I think it would eliminate waivers and things like that and all these court cases that we're seeing for eligibility reasons.
I'm all for it. I hope it happens, and I hope it happens this year. Last thing, you got about a minute. Tell me, who would you take? I'm assuming Peterson and DeBanza are off the grid here. Who would you take if you were the Grizzlies at number three?
I feel like Boozer would be right now. I mean, let's see how the process goes, obviously. I don't think it's 100% set in stone that those are going to be the choices. I mean, I think those guys are all in the mix for the top couple picks. I understand why everyone is intrigued with those players. I think it's going to be really interesting to see how the process plays out, because you never really know when teams start to meet with these players and they get to know them, or they have specific workouts, they want to see them do things. You never know what people are looking for or what's going to stand out in kind of that context. And so you can look at it from the outside and look at someone's highlights and say, well, this guy should fit this and he can do that. The team might look at it a totally different way. And so it'll be interesting to see how that goes throughout the process.
My friend, thank you. Have a great weekend, and we'll talk next Friday.
Yep, thanks for having me.
Thank you. That's Jonah Dillon. He is our Cadillac of Tiger football beat writers. He's brought to you by Landers Cadillac of Memphis. Head on over, because you know one, there's a couple of truisms about every Landers. One, you're going to get the top dollar for any traded at any Landers dealership. That's just a fact. It's accepted. And you can save even more if you go with the Landers Easy Pass. Just go to @CadillacOfMemphis.com. You get even more. And you know there are some exceptional deals going on right now, all the Landers places, but I'm urging you to go to the one, though. Dealership on Poplar, right there, right by Sunrise. You know where it is. It's got that new showroom that's gorgeous. They always pay top dollar, as I said, for trades, but you're always going to get the latest on the greatest when it comes to Cadillac. And remember, if it doesn't say Landers, you paid too much. That'll do it for us. Have a great weekend, everybody. We'll see you bright and early on Monday. Johnny Radio is right around the corner.